Chapter 7, The Performance. The king and the duke were a pair of con men. As we traveled from town to town, they got money from the local people by performing all sorts of tricks. They also drank a lot of whiskey and slept most of the day. One day, as we were coming round a bend in the river, we saw another town in the distance. The duke announced that he had a new plan, so we tied the raft up and walked into town. The duke bought some paper and wrote out a big sign. "At the courthouse, for 3 nights only, the world-famous actors David Garrick and Edmund Kean performing Shakespeare's famous tragedy, The Royal Nonsuch. Admission 50 cents. Ladies and children not allowed." "That will get everyone excited," said the duke. Sure enough, on the first night of the performance, the courthouse was nearly full. Most of the men in the audience were drunk. I was very interested to see just what the king and the duke were going to do. It turned out to be the strangest thing I had ever seen. When the audience settled down, the curtain went up and the performance started. The duke came on stage to give an introduction. He told everyone that they were going to see something special. Then the king ran onto the stage. He was completely naked and painted all over with stripes of different colors. He started to jump about like a wild animal. The audience began to laugh, and they found it hard to stop. The old man looked absolutely ridiculous. After 5 minutes of the same kind of nonsense, he left the stage. The duke came back on and told everyone that there would only be 2 more nights of the show, because they had to return and perform in London. Someone in the audience shouted out, "Is it finished? Is that all there is?" People started to get angry. Then a big man stood up and shouted at the other men in the audience, "Wait, gentlemen, it's true they've played a trick on us, but we don't want the rest of the town to know. I suggest that we tell people it's a wonderful show, then everyone else will look stupid as well." The other men soon agreed, and the next night, another audience saw the king run around like a lunatic. At the end of his second short performance, the same thing happened. The audience left the courthouse smiling and laughing as if they had watched the best show in the world. I was very worried on the third night. I stood by the door and watched the people enter for the third and final performance. There were no new faces in the audience. The chairs filled up very quickly with people who had already seen the show. I noticed that every man was hiding something under his jacket or inside his shirt. From the horrendous smells that reached my nose, I guessed that the men were carrying rotten fruit and bad eggs. They intended to get revenge for being humiliated on the first 2 nights. The courthouse was completely full when the duke signaled me to meet him behind the stage. "Go out of the back door and run as fast as you can to the raft," he whispered. I didn't argue, and he didn't need to tell me twice. I ran out of the door with the duke close behind me. I could hear the audience getting angry, and I thought the king was going to have a hard time with the men we left behind. But when we got to the raft, the king was already there waiting for us. Jim untied the ropes and we moved down the river, laughing all the way. The king and the duke collected $465 over those 3 nights. It was the first time I saw anyone make so much money in such a short time. Later that night, when they were asleep, Jim asked,
"Huck, doesn't it surprise you the way those two behave?"
"No," I said, "it doesn't." "But these kings of ours are a couple of frauds," said Jim. "I think all kings are like that," I said. "I learned all about Henry VIII and Richard III when I went to school. Henry used to marry a new wife every day. These two are angels next to those other kings." Jim and I both agreed that we would leave the duke and the king behind at the next opportunity.